Everybody! Recap show. We have results in Burns Dorm and Spartan High Greenwood. We still have Northwestern and Indian Land yet to happen today. Strom Thurmond is making a statement in the CSRA. The Silver Foxes still look like the team to beat. And Dorman gets a big rivalry victory. We will cover all of that on today's recap show. I'm Matt Smith. That is Rob Williams. The best thing you can do is go to fourquarterfriday.com. That's going to get you a lot of the information. And what we're going to do is we're going to expand on that here for the next hour. Rob, welcome. I know we say this all the time. It has been a sprint. This is a series of sprints, the way we are trying to do this. But last night was so much fun seeing the results coming in, and we're texting back and forth, and we're posting things at fourquarterfriday.com. But there was some really some results that were eye-popping, eyebrow-raising, and then some other teams that we had question marks about, well, how good are they? And I think they answered in the affirmative either Thursday night or last night.
Yes, Mitty, it's good to be here on a Saturday morning. You know, and we've got a little college football today, so a nice little precursor for everybody out there. Let's recap the high school day, and then we can get into, you guys can get into the college slate. But don't forget, we do have more high school football today, Rock Hill and Ashley Ridge at 1, and then Northwestern and Indian Land at 4, so you can kind of catch those, flip back and forth between those and your college games of the day. But it's a sprint for sure. We don't sleep on the weekends around here, and it's a lot of fun, to be honest with you. We'll try to rest up on Monday, but I don't know. I think we have a game then too.
Wait a minute. Speaking of not sleeping, you think I'm gonna sleep on that Bantam Chef hat you're rocking today?
This is a 50th anniversary. What is it?
That's a collector's item.
Yeah. 50th anniversary Bantam Chef hat. Yeah. Nice chuck wagon. You know, when I was in middle school, my grandfather had retired, and he was working across the street from the Bantam Chef as the maintenance guy at his church because he can't sit still. And my grandmother would pick me up from middle school and take me to Bantam Chef, and I would get an order of fries and a chocolate shake, and then I would go across the street and shoot basketball in the church gym until he got off.
Yeah, it's a wonder we're alive because we all did that. Like, yeah, you know, oh, what'd you eat? I don't know, chocolate shake.
I mean, every day.
Fries.
I mean, every day.
All
fifth,
right.
And fifth and sixth grade, every day.
All right, yes. You know, hit us in the chat. We love that. We love these stories from all over South Carolina, and that is Rob's backyard. Of course, he covered Union County and Greer on Thursday night. But now let's get back to last night. We're going to have Jenkins Dwight join us again because he was on the sidelines for Dorman and Burns. I've actually got the stats from that game. You did too. We got to take in a lot of that game either through our stream on the Chief Sports app or, you know, the visual that was actually a television game and went and landed on YouTube. So we'll talk about that game. But what else really caught your attention, Rob? Where do you want to start and tee it off this morning on the recap show?
Well, let's begin in the CSRA, and I will jump over there and give you some scores from that area of the state, but you know where I'm going.
Yes.
If we're talking CSRA, there is one specific school we're going to talk about. A couple of other scores over there. North Augusta gets back in the win column, 27-16 over Lexington. Midland Valley puts it on Lakeside out of Georgia, 42-7. And Strom Thurmond goes up to Abbeville, 33-0 for the Rebels in the win at Heitnickel Stadium. It's impressive. It's impressive, Smitty, what Andrew Webb and this team are doing. I talked to him last night during the post-game hours. A.J. Hillary was 15 of 21 this week. So market improvement from 1 for 9.
Yeah.
The week before, 15 of 21. And defense obviously played lights out. I asked Coach Webb about the mentality, and he said that this team is still humble and hungry and looking to improve.
They have really – I think what my assessment was heading into this, it was, okay, well, they've got – all these starters back, and they've added A.J. Hillary, and we trust Andrew Webb. and they've got a great tradition there at Strom Thurmond, and they're the defending champions, all of that. But I was in the camp of, yeah, but come on. It's not going to happen week one. It's not going to happen week two. It's not like Strom Thurmond is just going to look like the state champion out of the gate. But they have. That's exactly what they have looked like. As a matter of fact, we had Chris Deering on the show last week, writer for Prep Red Zone, and we discussed how the top of 2A, and kind of talking about Strom Thurmond when we say this, it's just code for how well Strom Thurmond has played. The top of 2A looks as good as the middle of 4A, and I may push that even further. I don't know who would beat. I mean, how many teams would beat Strom Thurmond? 5A, 4A, anybody? I just don't know right now.
It causes me to look around for sure, Smitty.
They're going to be moving up our rivals' composite rankings.
Yep. Other teams that we need to pay attention to, it causes me to take a look around. You know, no doubt about it. And speaking of taking a look around, let's roll off a couple more of these scores. Rock Hill area last night, South Point 56-0 over Nation Ford in their season opener. Lancaster 30-23 over York. And in a rivalry matchup between Fort Mill and Catawba Ridge, just about a 5-minute drive, Fort Mill gets it done 38-17 in that one, Smitty. So, yeah, but when you look at Strom Thurmond, who would beat them? Well, you have to go to the top of the rivals composite. Somebody like a Strom Thurmond who comes out and rolls up 56-0 in their season opener against an area opponent in Nation Ford. That's what it would take. You're gonna have to go all the way to the top. You know, take your normal names, your Dutch Forks, your Northwestern, your South Point. You could take Dorman, Burns, maybe. Out of that group, some of those top 5A schools I think would have a little too much depth. But man, it's really impressive what Strom Thurmond is doing.
Don't tell Coach Webb that. I don't know if he'd buy it. The way they are playing.
We should ask him
that. Maybe we'll ask him that. FourQuarterFriday.com. It's hot right now. You're joining us now on the recap show. So we'll go back, I guess, CSRA, Greater Rock Hill. I know the big games. We're slow playing Dorman Burns a bit because we're going to have Jenkins Dwight joining us at the bottom of this hour to discuss all that he saw there in person, and we'll dig into that ball game. Here's something I wanted to go over on today's show, Rob, and this will be a fascinating thing. Again, hit us up in the – we've got the chat box open. We have the message boards open at the Varsity Club on FourQuarterFriday.com. But let's see if I can get back to these. Here we go. And be on screen at the same time. But we discussed, we mentioned this on yesterday's Four Quarter Friday program. We took a look at the Massey formula and what Massey believed was going to happen in these games. Now, Massey is a proprietary computer formula that takes past results and a lot of information and combines that information and it spits out what they believe, the Massey ratings. You know, Massey himself isn't doing this anymore. But the formula spits out what it believes the score will be. And we looked at some of these and said, oh, that sounds about right. And then we looked at some others and thought, I think it's tighter than that. Let me go through some of what Massey predicted and then what happened.
Absolutely. Okay. I know one that sticks out that we're going to get to at 8:30, but you give us a few.
All right. I want you to listen to some of these. All right. Last night, Dutch Fork, this game only went, this is uncanny. This game was only about a half. Only about a half. Massey had projected the score was going to be Dutch Fork 38, Ridgeview 14. Both you and I on the show yesterday said we think it's closer than that. The final score and a half was Dutch Fork 35, Ridgeview 13. 4 points off what Massey projected in that one.
That one's interesting to me because what would have happened if they had played the other half?
I don't know.
How much would we be talking about the Massey prediction at that point? But strange enough, it got really, really close, Smitty. And this game was very competitive early, 14-13 game after one quarter. And then in that second quarter, Dutch Fork was able to make a few things happen to kind of stretch it out there.
What does that one say to you? Here's what I want to ask. Are we underselling some of the results coming in through the first 2 weeks? Are we right there where we should be, or are we overreacting at all? This one, to me, is one I could not stop thinking about last night. As I was watching the score pile up in favor of Dutch Fork, I know how much talent Ridgeview has. I know what Derek Howard has. Not just himself, the coaching staff. Mm-hmm. That was a one-score game last year without Trey Howard. Trey Howard was back. Ridgeview's got one of the better offensive linemen in the state. Ridgeview has one of the best tailbacks in the state in Spencer Bobian. And none of it seemed to matter for Dutch Fork last night. And that was the first action for both teams. So, and I don't mean just that one. I mean big picture, Rob. Underreacting, reacting right, or overreacting to what we've seen through 2 weeks?
Well, I think that there's a, I think there's definitely a little bit of overreaction in some cases. White Knoll, for example, now 0-2. Don't think that they can't get it back together at some point. South Florence, we talked about this yesterday, 0-2. But a lot of talent on the roster, they can pull together and it clicks. Then they do become a problem in region play and later in the year. I said this on 107.5 with Justin Hall last night. You know, Drew Marlowe talked to us earlier in the year and was like, Sumter's won the most regular season games in the last 10 years in the state of South Carolina, except for Dutch Fork. They're second in the state over the last decade in regular season wins, but they have an average exit of the second round of the playoffs. No postseason success. And he said, you know, we'll take our lumps if it means winning at the end. We are concerned with postseason wins more than anything else. And you have to look at some of these teams and wonder, you know, if it's still coming together. Nobody's out there playing to lose. I don't think,
right.
You know, I don't think that's what Drew Marlowe was saying, but I think they understand with these tough schedules that you may get punched in your mouth a little bit early on. And then you have to see how can we rally. And that just varies from team to team, Smitty. What's the mentality of the guys on the club? Who are the leaders in the locker room that can pull it together? Because 0-2 doesn't necessarily mean that you're bad.
And
you got to look at how these happened and who they were against, and then look at what is the region going to look like and have you been playing out of classification and so on and so forth as you look down the road.
We'll get back to those Massey ratings and Massey projections in just a moment. And compare them. But I like this conversation for this season, especially because how many new coaches do we have? I mean, I can't remember the number, but there are so many new coaches. And I just wonder what you just described, and I think you're right. In other words, Jamie Nichols lost a game last night. Abbeville lost big to Strom Thurmond. But does anybody think that Abbeville couldn't get it together and make a 1A run? I think we all know that that's true. So I almost think this is also a coach-by-coach basis. Because when you've got as much capital in the bank as someone like Jamie Nichols, you're not afraid of anything. Because you know, as you said, your reputation is built on what you do in the postseason. And Drew Marlowe, even though he's a first-year coach at Sumter, he is an experienced coach, and the same is true. But I also know that there's got to be some of these head coaches that are taking their first job that really feel like, I'm trying to build a culture. I want to start winning. I can't, like, see what I've got or play some young players out of position early to see what they can do or who can handle playing both ways or try some things on special teams because you just don't want to dig yourself a hole you can't get out of and you're trying to build momentum for your program. But if you're a veteran coach with a championship-level program, then I think it's much easier for you to shrug this off and say, hey, that's okay. Now we learned a lesson, and we might see those guys again. I just feel like it might be easier in some circumstances than it is for some of these first-year head coaches, especially the ones in their first job.
No, I agree. But that's a great point that really leads me to this next grouping of scores here, Smitty, as we try to roll through them. We've talked about two areas. We'll remind you the six areas on Four Quarter Friday, the Greater Rock Hill area, the Upstate, the Midlands, CSRA, the PD Grand Strand, and the Lowcountry. We'll give you scores from all six areas as we work our way through. I want to get to the Midlands here because there's a couple of really intriguing games. You mentioned first-year coaches, and I got a couple of points there as well. I want to get to these scores before we get to Jenkins because I know we're going to have a few. There's a couple of games here that we really need to pay attention to. If we look at the Midlands, first of all, Hammond, 49-0 over Augusta Christian. South Aiken comes in and takes care of Airport, 31-13. Mid Carolina, 28-21 over Batesburg Leesville. Here's one that we can talk about, Smitty. Chapin, 45. Brooklyn Casey, 22. Let's pause there for just a moment as Corey Helms gets the first win for the Chapin Eagles in over 600 days.
Say that again.
Yeah. Over six. It was the playoffs of 2024. The last time Chapin won a football game, and they had back-to-back 1-point wins in that playoff run in 5A. No wins last year, and
tough region last year.
Absolutely.
Oh.
And a tough one last week against Lugoff Elgin, who we're going to get to as well in this yep. area of the state. But now against Brooklyn Casey, the Eagles come out and don't just win it, Smitty. 45-22. A lot of points for Corey Helms and this team. There is talent there, and I believe yep. he is a coach who can turn it around. Just, you know, think about what it means to get off the schneid and get a win after 600 plus days.
And he's exactly what I'm talking about, right? Now, Corey Helms, we know he's got a background, but that's a great example of he doesn't want to take too many lumps and get that negative momentum going after a winless season for the program, not for him, for the program. And so he knew how important it was to come together as quickly as they could and pick up that win and show that community, which is an awesome community, in terms of athletics, I mean, you know that, they're going to support him, and they're going to support those kids. And he wanted to give back to that. He said, I want to win. I'm sure he was thinking, I want to win a game. I want to fist pump, high five, have the fans go crazy. We need that. We need a feel-good win, and they got one, which is part of the reason why it was, as you said, it's not just the game. It's not just the result. It's the score in that one, 45 points. I mean, they got to throw a party last night. As long as, I know it was raining, as long as the weather, I don't know, was not too bad. I'm sure some people were in ponchos and Chapin last night. But as long as the weather wasn't too bad, they kind of got to have a party last night. And they haven't had a party in a while at Chapin. But I just know that community is going to support him and going to support that program and what he's trying to do. And I'm sure that was a lot of fun. I hate it for Brooklyn Casey, but Chapin needed that. They needed an exhale, get off the mat type of win, and they got one.
Absolutely. Absolutely got one. And it's a big score there in the Midlands. I'll give you a few more. Lamar 33-8 over Columbia. Keenan now 2-0, 38-33 over Dreher. Here's one, Smitty, where Jarrett Neely has this team squeaking out a couple early. A win last week against Swansea, a win this week against Dreher. How does Keenan factor in as they are a team that I think on the football world can really fly under the radar? But you look at that region, Region 3, 2A, Andrew Jackson, Chester, great back with Feaster. We'll talk about them. Didn't get to see that one last night. Columbia, Keenan, Mid-Carolina, who we mentioned before, Newberry is young and rebuilding. And so can
Keenan
make
some noise? Young and rebuilding, but good.
Yeah, that's true.
Hang on. Newberry is like they all they did was replace all of their starters, but it's a machine, it's a factory. They must have replaced them with great football players.
Maybe so. Another first year coach here in Lakewood, now 1-1 after the loss last night. Jaron Devlin takes his first loss as the coach of the Gators. Lower Richland defeats Lakewood 21-6. Pillion takes down Barnwell 17-7. We mentioned Dutch Fork 35-13 over Ridgeview. Here's a couple of scores, teams bouncing back this week, Smitty, and then we're going to get to Lugoff Elgin and Camden. Gray Collegiate 27-0 over River Bluff. After going up to North Carolina last week, Gray Collegiate comes back and handles a local opponent, a bigger school. We've talked multiple times. You know, a lot of people have said that Gray Collegiate stands out as one of the schools that could struggle in 5A simply due to numbers. The multiplier has them in 5A. They have, you know, 30, just like we talked to Aaron Brand about Irmo last year, this Gray Collegiate team has 30 to 35 players on that varsity roster trying to compete at the 5A level will be interesting for them. But they did get the win last night and in dominant fashion, 27-0. And speaking of dominance in Irmo, the Yellow Jackets went over to Spring Valley and won 37-0, which I don't think anyone is super surprised about. Aaron Brand gets his team to 1-1 and bounces back after the loss to Rock Hill last week. Okay, Smitty, here's the one in the Midlands, and we can comment on those other two as well. Lugoff Elgin, 28. Camden, 25.
Great.
Now,
game.
I'm curious, as I'm talking, if you can try to grab the Massey on that, I would love to know what the prediction was for this game. Jarvis Littlejohn has made much about his athletes and his roster and been really confident with us. But when you look at Camden last week going down to Dillon and getting the win in a game that got pushed to Saturday, this Camden team, I think, it was widely regarded as the favorite in their region as well. And now you get into this rivalry game, okay? You get into this rivalry game. And I think the expectation was maybe that Camden was going to come in and get it done. And that's what I would have picked, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I've been beating the drum for Lugoff Elgin. You know this.
I've kind of been beating the Lugoff Elgin drum too, but I hedged my bets here. And I told Justin Hall last night, if you'd have pinned me down, I wouldn't have said it was going to be dominant, but I would have said Camden would have kind of squeaked it out. This game was all Lugoff Elgin early. Camden had to claw back into it. And Smitty, Camden missed a field goal, game-tying field goal, as time expired. They were taking shots at the end zone, couldn't get it, 2 seconds left, field goal attempt, no good. And the Demons come out as the winner.
So what Massey's projection was, you ready for this? Camden 40, Lugoff Elgin 14.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought that one might be really off.
It was off. It was way off. And I believed Lugoff Elgin has got weapons. They have speed. They have a coach. He's got that Gaffney background.
He does.
Give me Lugoff Elgin to play well this season. I've been beating that drum all year. That surprises me zero. Again, everything's different. Everything's relative. I also like Camden. I like Camden, but remember, we've kind of been fooled early on too. Don't, because we've had so many 2A teams beat 4A teams and 3A teams beating 5A teams. Camden's a 3A team. Lugoff Elgin will compete at the 4A level this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we have to remember that just because Camden lost, they can look themselves in the mirror and say, well, we just lost to a 4A opponent. We just keep doing this. Just keep stacking bricks all season long, being who we are. And then when the playoffs come, we've got a real shot. And they do. Real opportunity to be your state champions this year at the 3A level. That would surprise no one. So that's all fine. I look at it from the positive perspective of I like that the Demons got that win. I like that they paid it off. I feel like they lost. I don't know this to be true, that they lost a lot of close games, but what I mean is I feel like in the last few years, Lugoff Elgin has either been stuck kind of with some tough opponents, or they're always in between something, and so they're talented, but they can't quite pay it off. And I think that this time now in this new region, in 4A, I think they're kind of starting to hit their stride. They're one of those – we might have to do this feature at fourquarterfriday.com. Teams on the rise, like teams that haven't had championship success in recent seasons, but we just know are bubbling there below the surface, that are one rung on the ladder away from – getting everybody's attention. And I just think Lugoff Elgin is one of those teams. I got to see them in person last year. I like them. I like their head coach. And I think they're going to be a team to watch all season long.
I don't disagree with you. I think there's a lot of talent on that team. Obviously, with EJ Richardson being a Percy Harvin clone, it's hard to stop.
That's the quote. That's the quote you keep going back to, is the Percy Harvin clone.
I will not let it go. But he is really, really talented, and he does a lot of things for that team. I see a couple things here in our chat box. Doc talks about how in his last period in high school, he had a football coach who would allow him to sneak out and grab a burger and hot dog. Yes. At the timeout in Bowling Springs. He's mentioning restaurants in towns. We got a little bit of that on Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it. this week as our colleagues around the media
that was disrespectful. Starting, you rolled your eyes and said X or whatever we're calling it. Okay, old man. Yeah, it's X. They've rebranded. Get with the times. It's Insta, baby. I put all my meals on Insta.
We are calling me old on Four Quarter Friday. Yeah. Recap
You're
show
the one
here
rocking
on Saturday.
The Bantam Chef.
Yeah, and I will. I love this is one of my favorite hats. But yes, I love the conversation on X with yesterday and Thursday with the media boys around the state.
Yes.
Putting up where they were going. Our friend Trey Stewart from Greer Sports News at the Dario in Union.
Oh, yeah.
On Thursday
let
night.
Let me tell you, all right, my spot. I can't remember. You'll know it. So if I was ever going to go, the old days, going to see Bo Rabb, the late, great Bo Rabb at Union, I was turned on to this years ago by Jed Blackwell and Travis Jenkins, writers in the Upstate. And I can't remember the name. Let's see if you know it, though. There was a barbecue place in Buffalo.
Yeah, Midway. Drive,
what is it?
Midway.
The Midway. Yes. I think Sawdust on the Floor type of place.
It's the most famous place in Union in terms of places to eat.
Oh.
It's been on the Food Network. Guy Fieri's,
so
Diners, Drive-Ins, Dives, multiple shows, all kind of stuff. They have multiple locations.
You got to go over to the right a little bit, right?
Right, like correct.
Right,
correct.
And then come back to the stadium.
There are multiple locations now, Smitty. You can get Midway in Spartanburg as well now. So you don't have to come all the way down here.
Nice. Oh, but I will. I love you, Union folks. Oh, I love this.
A lattice score against Chesterfield. Look at this. 21-21 in the fourth. Won the game 42-21. Two successful onside kicks back-to-back. We love special teams. I want to hit a couple more here before we get to Jenkins. Smitty, as we look at the rest of the Midlands, Sumter, we mentioned, no Frank Richardson, comes in and beats White Knoll 35-27.
Yep.
Big win for the Gamecocks. And Clover and Bennett Swigert gets his first win at Westwood 27-0. So an opportunity for the Blue Eagles to come down and get a win for Bennett Swigert, his first with the program. Drew Marlowe's first with the program in Sumter. So a couple of first-time wins there for those coaches. I want to roll through a couple more of these scores because I know we're going to talk Burns and Dorman. If we look at the PD grandstand, Georgetown 41-27 over Andrews. Ainer 38-7 over Marion. Carolina Forest, who we've talked so much about, 36-14 over Conway. Sherrall and Louisville tried to play Thursday night, couldn't do it. Played last night. That's 21-0. Sherrall. How about Crestwood? 27-0 over Goose Creek. Crestwood is a great story as a team, Smitty. But individually, what Calvin Wofford is doing deserves some attention. Two games, 48 carries, 503 yards, and five touchdowns. He's averaging 10.5 yards a carry already. 500 yards in two games.
How good are the running backs in this state?
They're insane. Johnsonville 42-0 over Hannah Pamplico. Lakeview
flashes
53-12 over MacBee. Lee Central 8-0 over Mullins. Loris, who we've talked about, 60,
I like Loris.
63-7 over Green Sea Floyd. But
that's a rebuilding team. That is a team that is replacing 18 of 22 starters that just dropped 63 points. But look, I know that that's a bit of a mismatch, and I know that Ty Sutherland's going to have to get things going there at Green Sea Floyd's. I like Greg Mance. I like Loris. I've always liked Loris, but I just thought it's like Newberry. They can't, you know, but come on, they're not going to do much this year. It's kind of
here
a step back. It's the same. But they got their two best offensive players back, Roderick Percha and Mikael Stevens, and those are two guys you don't want to see, and they got a transfer quarterback in Aiden Scott. So they're just as good at the key spot. So you can build an offense around those guys. And then I know they've played well defensively so far. That's because they're young and flying around. That defense will get tested in region play. But I like Loris. And I think Greg Mance has it's almost like this has rejuvenated him. He's an older coach with a younger team. And now he's just enjoying coaching and teaching the kids and getting excited. So that's another team like Lugoff Elgin. There's a few around the state that I'm on, and Loris is one that I'm on as a team to watch that's like underrated based on how much they lost.
I'll give you three more to comment on here, and then we'll bring in Jenkins. Marlboro County, who you've talked about, 28-6 over Atlantic Collegiate.
My bully.
Dylan wallops Myrtle Beach 50-24. And how about St. James 42-34 over Soxtee?
Yeah, so Stephen Cakel's 2-0 at St. James.
Right.
That's good. I also want to point out Jason Allen, he kind of tweaked that Ainer offense a little bit. He said he's going back to more like single wing. Not the 80s, not the 70s. He's going back to like the 50s. And I'm fascinated. I want to get my eyes on them and see what that is. But yeah, Soxtee struggling a little bit. I think they're going to be better as the year goes on. But congratulations to Stephen Cakel, who's really, he's like taking that St. James job and telling the kids no excuses. You know, there are no excuses. And so far, that's they've taken on that personality and done that. And Myrtle Beach, I don't know the answer to this, and I don't mean to be disrespectful. Mickey Wilson's championship coach. Have they forced a punt yet?
I don't think, a lot of
you know,
points.
They played. They
it's
played
a lot of points, Smitty.
Loris in the CMB kickoff classic and really didn't stop Loris all night. You know, maybe there was like a turnover or a bad snap. They have one punt in the game, and then they give up 61 points to Marlboro County. If Marlboro County punted all game, it was out of mercy. I was there. I don't recall a punt. There could have been. And then they give up all these points. We've got to get stats because Noah Singletary for Dylan had 248 yards rushing at the half last night for Dylan. Noah Singletary, Dylan. If anybody's got that, throw it up in the chat at halftime last night. I know Ian Guerin from Prep Red Zone was on site there. 248 yards rushing in a half. That's,
yeah,
like
that's impressive.
Christian Okoye Tecmo Bowl numbers.
It's impressive, and you mentioned it. The running backs in this state are extremely impressive. Speaking of running backs in the state, let's bring in our friend Jenkins Dwight as he saw a multitude of backs last night at Burns Dorman. Jenkins, what's going on? How are you?
What's going on? Good. Good to be here. Both sides, lots of talented running backs, obviously led by Trey Segarra. But I'll tell you who caught my eye besides Segarra, and I'll get into him in a minute. Nick Means for Dorman, really good. He impressed me. He's got some speed. He's got some size. And then the second running back for Burns, Jacoby Fuller, he was also really good. Unfortunately, Fuller went down with a bad injury, I believe, in the third quarter. He got hit pretty hard. He did not return, and Segarra was battling cramps all game, especially in the second half. But, I mean, especially in that first half, all three of those running backs I named were just making plays after play after play. And the Dorman passing game was the difference. This was a game that was back and forth the whole first half. The first snap of the game was a pick six. The Dorman corner just cut right under it and took it back to the house. And then after that drive, Burns went with another quarterback, Gideon Murib, I think I said it right. And he impressed me too. He's a little guy, but he ran hard. He made some good throws. And his two running backs going down, especially in the fourth quarter, kind of hurt their chances a little bit. But Dorman eventually took over this game, and they started throwing the ball. Burns has a corner committed to Auburn, I believe. Wiggins is his last name. And he's a good player. He's got good size. But they were even going after him in the second half. And those receivers for Dorman, they were making plays, they were making contested catches, and their quarterback was making some really good throws, and their defense took over. I mean, that fourth quarter, Burns couldn't do anything on offense. And this was a late starting game. The weather, the rain was coming down. I didn't start till about 8:45. The crowds, they stayed, they piled in, they were there the whole time. This was an exciting game. And there were multiple times where I actually felt like Burns was about to pull away. Kind of like they go up a touchdown. And early in the game, the only thing that was keeping Dorman in it was the pick six and a big kickoff return. Other than that, Burns was getting stops. They were running the ball at will. But then Dorman just kept hanging in there, making a play to come back. And then they eventually just outweighed them and took over. This was a good matchup and a big win for Dorman. They impressed me.
Smitty, Jenkins, how about these running backs? And at the end of the day, fourth quarter, who is it that comes in and does and breaks tackles and scores, Smitty? Our guy Carter Nash, from center field
right
to the football field. What an incredible athlete he is!
Yes,
a young player, but able to get out there and get it done late for Dorman. Jenkins, I think you're right. You know, just kind of wore on them over the course of the game. Here's the big thing that's going to be glaring that everybody's going to want to talk about with this game, right? Four turnovers for Burns, three interceptions, two from Walker Burdett, one from Gideon Merib, and the fumble, of course, as well. Four turnovers ultimately becomes the difference because Dorman protected the football all night, Smitty.
Burns actually outgained Dorman last night. Jenkins, you had said that one of the things you put out there in terms of your observations was even though the game was tied, eventually Burns took the lead going into the half because you said the Rebels had outplayed them. But then the second half, look, we got to give players some credit, but also maybe that Dorman coaching staff. They must have found something because they outscored, I believe, Burns 21-0 in the second half. So that's really interesting. So what you were seeing was Burns looked like the better team. And in the second half, there were just these little tweaks for Dorman, that wildcat formation with those two running backs, continuing to force turnovers. It was just interesting the way that the coaching staff, I think, for Dorman had a really good night.
I did, and they came out the second half, and whatever those tweaks were, they were right, because I believe it was their first two drives out the half. I mean, they were just gashing the Burns D. The Burns defense that, again, they were putting some tough spots. Like the first touchdown they gave up, well, obviously there was the pick six, and the second touchdown, they were starting inside their own 10 because of the big kick return. So they looked good in the first half, but Dorman came out and just running the ball, throwing the ball. I mean, they were gashing them really the whole second half. So the coaching job from the staff at Dorman did a phenomenal job, and that was ultimately the difference. They just kind of wore them out there in the second half, and Burns couldn't stop them. And in that fourth quarter, Burns couldn't do anything on offense.
We talked about the running backs. What about Jabez Thomas for Dorman, who plays both ways? And late there in the fourth quarter, guys, I think it was the nature of how they kept attacking Burns with a different player that really was able to help wear them down. You look at that last drive where Dorman really sealed it, and you had Nick Means, Jabez Thomas, and Carter Nash all with carries. Don't forget about the interceptions for Thomas as well. So going both ways, he's a player that comes in and spells the two running backs. So it's not just those two. You're even more fresh because you're putting him back there in the Wildcat and letting him kind of get loose. So I think that if we can look at the game last night in a vacuum, or we can zoom out and say, well, how does this project for Dorman going forward, right? How does this project for Burns? But let's look at the winning team first and foremost. When we look at that region, Smitty, and what Dorman has, the ability to attack from multiple angles, I think, creates issues. And this Dorman team, I saw someone say it last night. I'm gonna say it as well. Better than Dorman's team last year, which made a deep playoff run.
Oh, I think this Dorman team is better. But I'll ask. Here's the question I'll ask of Jenkins. I know you have not gotten to see a lot of like Region 1 games. You know those Greenville schools.
Yeah.
But now I see Burns. They're the losers. But do you have any reason to believe they can't win that region over there on their side, Region 1? I think Hillcrest is their top competition, right?
I agree. I thought Burns got out-coached, like we just said, in the second half, but I still was honestly very impressed with Burns. I think if they clean up some mistakes, they get those two running backs healthy, I like what I saw from them. I think they can run the table. I mean, they second half, they got gashed a little bit, but they're pretty big. They're physical on defense too. Their offensive line was huge, and it looks like they found something at quarterback. It didn't take long. Only took a drive, but
I was gonna ask you that, Jenkins. You comment on this, please. Did Gideon Merib win the job last night?
100%. He won it after the first quarter. 100%. And he's a little guy. He came in, but he was a little like kind of slithery runner, and he made some good throws. I know he threw the interception late, but he had a beautiful deep pass to wide receiver, the Syracuse commit. And it's not even a question. And he impressed me last night. But I really do like this Burns team going forward. All the credit in the world to Dorman. They made the adjustments. They made the plays. They completely won the game, but I really like this Burns team. I was still impressed with them. I like what I saw.
Well, guys, for the first time in a long, long time, Smitty, you called me old earlier. I'm going to lean on your wisdom, your sage wisdom here to pull this year out. But how long has it been since this was not a region matchup? This year, this year, this rivalry goes down and doesn't impact the region standings.
Yeah, there was a time, maybe two reclassifications back or three, where Burns had been in this position before. They were in like the region, you know, always with Hillcrest and Malden, some of the Golden Strip schools. And this will happen to Burns every now and then where they'll be pushed over there to that other side. But I think this game, I mean, Jenkins, you were there. It still carries a lot of meaning. Plus, what I like about it is we got to see these two teams match up with each other early in the season. It was a tremendous gauge. Now, here would be my question to you, Jenkins. I've heard you sing Burns' praises, and we've talked about the Dorman offense, Dorman defense in the second half. But they did give up 30 points to Hillcrest last week. They gave up 21 points, and that was legit to Burns in the first half. Is this Dorman defense good enough to compete for a championship? Is there anything there, or were they just playing two really, really good teams in the first 2 weeks, and that's where the points came from?
I mean, there's definitely, if you look at the first half last night and their game last week, there's definitely some concern on there. But, I mean, they really turned it around in the second half. And like I said, I know Burns, their two star running backs were shaken up. That probably helped them a lot. But, I mean, they dominated, especially that fourth quarter. They were flying to the ball. They looked like a different defense. So, I guess it's kind of hard to look. We got to see more throughout the season. But if they whatever adjustments they made, if they can turn up that notch and play the way they did in that second half, I think the ceiling's high for this defense. But they still got a ways to go.
All right, we'll let you go, Jenkins. Listen, it's been fantastic. I know you've gotten to be on the sidelines. You braved some rain. We love what you have done for us. But tell us now, you've got to put your play-by-play cap on. What do the next few weeks look like for you? It means we'll still check in with you, but you'll be seeing games kind of in that Midlands PD area. Do you know what game you might have next week as a play-by-play guy?
Still don't have the actual games yet, but it'll be all September. I will be in the Florence area doing the game of the week there. And then in October, I'll be doing some Sumter games. So when they announce the games, I'll let y'all know, but it's for now, it's all of September. I'll be in that Florence area doing play-by-play with Derek Burris for the Florence Game of the Week.
Very cool. Well, we will stay in touch with you. We really appreciate it. Thank you. I know it was rainy. I know it was late last night, but this has been really fun, Jenkins. But we're not gonna let you be a stranger. We're going to definitely pick your brain about all those Florence area, you know, South Florence, what's going on with them, what's going on with Wilson, what's going on with Lakewood, what's going on with Sumter. We'll be doing that over the next few weeks.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, first two games I went to this year, I mean, great atmospheres, great football. Yeah, it's been a fun start to the season.
Beautiful. Thanks, Jenkins.
Listen, thank y'all.
Jenkins, Dwight, and you mentioned Jabez Thomas. Rob, he had another interception last night. He had 10 last year as an all-region corner. And as you said, they just have so many weapons. Most teams, if they have a Carter Nash, they would say, well, we're going to put together a package for Carter Nash. You know, we're going to have a quarterback, and Dorman does, and Cooper Patterson, young quarterback they're bringing along. Then we're going to have like a Wildcat direct snap package. But they have a package for Carter Nash. They have a package for Nick Means, and then they have to have a package for Jabez Thomas too. That's a lot of mouths to feed.
Yeah, you mentioned if what if you have one stud running back and you lean on him? How about 291 in week one and loss against Gaffney? That'd be Trenton Lynch. What happened with Spartanburg at Greenwood last night? Well, one thing is they went past midnight. Let's run through some of these upstate scores as we look at the competition surrounding Burns and Dorman. Spartanburg Day School 17-0 over Thornwell. West Oak beats Berea 17-0. Blue Ridge gets it done 28-6 over Travelers Rest. Chesney 40-20 over Broome. Watch out for Gunnar Lauder at Chesney, a senior quarterback who can do it through the air and on the ground. In Lawrence County, a rivalry between Clinton and Lawrence, and the Red Devils win it 28-22, Smitty. Crescent 37-20 over Palmetto. Our guys at Daniel, we've talked a lot about this group for Coach Stone over there, 45-7 over BHP. That is an impressive win. Easily 45-42 over Pendleton. Somerville comes up. Here we're getting into some good ones, right? Somerville comes up 45-28 over Hillcrest at Serene Stadium. And Spartanburg, 21-14 over Greenwood, Smitty. A bounce back win for the Vikings and a dominant 2-0 now for Somerville.
So clutch. I think Somerville, that was a bit of an under the radar game because we had to talk so much about, obviously, you know, can Northwestern bounce back? And now they've got the game against Indian Land, the Keep Pounding Classic, Bank of America Stadium. You have to talk about Dorman and Burns. You have to talk about Ridgeview and Dutch Fork. But Somerville just quietly went about their business from the lower part of the state up to Serene Stadium and got a big win over Hillcrest. You know, 4 hours from home, and Ian Rafferty and Somerville got it done. September 18th. Get out the calendars. If you live in the Lowcountry, you might want to be there for James Island and Somerville when they play on September 18th. And that is a matchup where you may get to see those teams play twice this year. All right, and I want to mention this before. I know we are in the other part of the state, but I asked and answered earlier. Noah Singletary, Dylan, they got a big win over Myrtle Beach last night. 418 yards, 7 touchdowns for Noah Singletary. Year of the running back, 2026.
You said 248 in the first half. It's like, well, had a big win.
Throttle it down.
They probably, nope. 418 and 7 touchdowns. That's a way to get those stats going. This is how you see backs in high school in South Carolina go over the 2,000-yard mark, Smitty.
What in the world?
418 in one game. Calvin Wofford's over 500 in his first two games. You're seeing it. Trenton Lynch went for 291 in that first game. Yep. And so you continue to see the year of the running back. And don't be fooled. We'll take a year off next year. We'll only have a handful. And then 2029 will come back around and led by Carter Nash, who is already a top five back nationally in that class. We'll have another year of the running back here in South Carolina.
I'm so impressed, but it's everywhere you look. Somerville's got one. We were just talking about Somerville getting a big win over Hillcrest on the road. Javen Williams is a player for Somerville out of their backfield. So, and you know what we've got to do? Here's a little research project, and this is something everybody can help with. Put these out there on the Varsity Club message board at fourquarterfriday.com. And it's real affordable to join. So jump on there, get involved. And as you said, Rob, starting next week, I mean, really this week, but next week in earnest, you get to go get all of our stuff on fourquarterfriday.com. And then you get to go, if you join us, you then can just jump on your favorite college team's message board, like right after that. You can be with us, and then don't worry, we'll be your mistress, and then your college team can be your wife, and that's great. And you can just jump on over to that message board on Saturdays. But put this out there. What is going on? It's not just the talent at running back. Is this a great year for offensive line play? Is this H-backs? Is this because of the coaches focusing? Because it doesn't matter how good you are. I don't care who you've got. I don't care if you have Eric Dickerson. You don't get 418 yards unless you have a coach and a coordinator and the blocking that also is committed to this.
No, you're absolutely right. It's scheme. It's the attack. It's the offensive line. It's all of the above, and I don't think it's an indictment of defenses either, Smitty. As we look at some of these scores continue to be eye popping. Seneca 28-21 over Liberty. Greenville 21-19 over Malden. 96 gets the win. 14-7 over Landrum. Pickens 48 Blacksburg 6. Look out for Brooks Dow and Pickens. T.L. Hanna is now 2-0, 30-7 over Powdersville. St. Joe's, 27-21 over Christchurch. Bowling Springs gets it done, 34-13 over Riverside. Wade Hampton with a 48-0 win over Southside. Chapman with a blowout win, 61-6 over Walhalla. Ware Shoals, 24-0 over Carolina. Wren, 49-12 over Eastside. And then here's a few more that we want to get into. Smitty, Jefferson High School out of Georgia comes in and cuts Westside 55-21. Gaffney now 2-0 with a dominant 43-10 win over JL Mann. And how about the showdown between Woodruff and Fountain Inn? Well, Woodruff just goes out and gets it done 32-15. Connor Davis with two more touchdowns through the air and one on the ground for the Wolverines. Is Woodruff better than what we expected them to be? When we thought Hayden Gibson was going to be on the team.
Yes, Woodruff has forced multiple turnovers in that game, including a pick six. And they've got, as you said, they have Connor Davis on the other side. I like a lot about Woodruff. And let's see, Roger said, Fountain Inn at Woodruff is one of the strangest games I've been to in my 62 years. Well, you see something. If you watch high school football enough in South Carolina, you could just see some things, right? We'll have to get the details from Roger. But I love that. But, yeah, I got a report last night about Woodruff and Fountain Inn, just that, yeah, Woodruff has got players elsewhere. It's a shame that Aiden Gibson couldn't be a part of this, that didn't work out. But he's on his way, and this is still a good Woodruff club. And another one that jumped out to me, you mentioned there, Rob, in the upstate, Gaffney.
Yeah.
So Spartan High is real, right? Spartan High is Trenton Lynch. They're a well-coached team with Mark Hodge. They beat Greenwood 21-14. I know that's a rain-soaked game, so I don't want to get too bogged down. Greenwood's going to be good too, right? Greenwood will be fine. I expect plenty from them. But, okay, it's legitimate. Spartan High was expected to be pretty good. They are pretty good. Well, Gaffney has got wins over Spartan High and then a blowout victory over J.O. Mann. Watch out, 4A. Watch out. Sign me up for Gaffney, South Point, or any of those big 4A matchups. Irmo Gaffney, Irmo South Point. Who am I missing? Give me all those.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
I mean, those are playoff games. Those are playoff games. Give me
They're going to be playoff games. They're going to be great environments. One thing we didn't ask Jenkins that I wanted to get to, and we'll have to ask him off air, how did the environment at Dorman last week compare to what he saw at Gaffney in the reservation week one? He was so impressed with Gaffney. I want to know, even though a little bit of rain last night, I want to get to that and find out.
It wasn't – I've already gotten the reports on this. It was not a vintage Dorman Burns environment because – of the late start. We were even considering, I mean, just everybody that was tracking this game and people there, Jenkins was there and he said they might just have to push this to Monday. So it was not the environment. So you just didn't get the people that you usually get. And that was a shame, but great environment in terms of, like, you know, the TV cameras and all that stuff. But I don't think this one lived up to environment-wise what normally it will be. And Dorman, I mean, whenever their next home game is, they are going to have a great environment. Burns going to have a great environment, but the rain wreaked havoc on this.
No doubt about it. We're coming to the end of our hour here. Let's run through the Low Country scores.
Yeah, get them out there. Why haven't you been getting them? I haven't been interrupting you constantly talking about all these running backs.
Here's what I want to say, and I'll call you later and we'll talk about this, but – the chemistry, Smitty, we're in a flow today. All right, Low Country scores. Pinewood Prep 52-13 over Savannah Country Day. Northwood 21-14 over Heathwood Hall. Hilton Head gets it done again, 35-24 over Bamberg Earhart. Bishop England is 2-0 for Logan Hall. That's 31-7 win over Lucy Beckham. Cane Bay gets it done, 24-18 over Stratford. Berkeley 44-15 over Fort D. How about the Fighting Jamie Bradfords and Wando, now 2-0, 33-20 over May River. Portugal 35-7 over Philip Simmons. Lake City 18-6 over Timberland. And here's one for you, Smitty. Now 0-2 after a loss at the Cannon School in North Carolina. 22-21 Oceanside goes down. Those are your Low Country scores as we wrap up our score recap around the state.
But okay, first of all, Oceanside's fine. Oceanside is 0-2. They're fine. They had an opportunity last night to kick a game-winning field goal. It hit the crossbar. Or hit the upright. I feel nothing. Oceanside's good. Oceanside will still be a 3A contender. That means nothing to me. They've just played two really, really strong teams. I think Cannon is really big. I've heard they had an outstanding quarterback come down here. They played at Johnson. Hey, good. I have nothing. Don't worry about it. Land Sharks will be good. Wando is 2-0, but so is Bishop England. What a victory over Lucy Beckham last night. So Jamie Bradford from inside the Gamecocks, his two favorite teams, Wando and Bishop England, are a combined 4-0. They're getting the Jamie Bradford rub.
Yeah, something's going on. And here's the thing about Bishop England that I will point out. Their first three touchdowns of the game were passes of 60, 65, yeah, and 80 yards.
They're legit.
Chunking it.
Yeah, they're legit.
Chunking it. And yeah, and it happened time after time. Obviously, Lucy Beckham has Georgia commit Ty Johnson on the offensive line. And reports to me were that he was moving around so they could run behind him. But not much more for the Bengals.
Ooh,
obviously,
I like
they
that.
Only
oh,
put
wait,
up.
They were shifting him on the line.
They would move him right side, left side.
Sneaky.
Yep.
Sneaky.
Yep. There it is. All right, Smitty, we've made our way all the way around the state. And now it's time to do some more intel, recon, figure out what we've got. We'll have Jake Morris the first of this week. So make sure that you're tuned in on.
It's Dorman head coach.
That's Jake correct. Morris. Dorman head coach Jake Morris. We'll have him early in the week. So make sure that you're tuned in on our YouTube page, our Apple and Spotify podcast. You can go there and find Four Quarter Friday. And, of course, at fourquarterfriday.com, we'll have our recap notebooks coming out early in the week, as well as turning the page, Smitty, to week three. Holy cow. But not so fast, because we got two games from the Rock Hill area today. The Bearcats hosting Ashley Ridge at 1:00. Northwestern, Indian Land, and Bank of America at 4:00.
That's right. I was gonna give you. So the Massey Ratings has actually got a big win for Northwestern. I've got to find. All right. So they project, meaning the Massey Ratings again. The projection is Rock Hill over Ashley Ridge, 42-20. Is it closer than that, or do you think Rock Hill gets them just like that?
I think it may be a little closer than that. I might would go 35-20.
Okay. There you go. Rob just did some computer calculations himself in his head quickly. And the Massey Ratings, the projection has Northwestern toppling Indian Land 42-14. I think Indian Land has got something for them. I'll tell you what, here's what I'll say about that one. You know I like Northwestern. You know I think they're a championship contender. We had it, Xavier Means. You can find that one on our YouTube page. I'm all the way impressed with Paige Wofford, their championship contender. Here's what I think is wrong about that score. Indian Land gets more than 14 because of Matt Cusia at quarterback. He had 5 touchdowns last week. I think he can get 3 this week. I don't know if that's enough to get Northwestern pulling upset at Bank of America Stadium. They're playing at the bank, so it's really cool. But I think that even Northwestern's defense, even as good as that team is, nobody stops Matt Cusia and that Indian Land offense fully this year. So I think they get more points than 14.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they'll be able to put something up, and I think it will be competitive. I think this one looks to me like Ridgeview Dutch Fork.
Okay.
I think it's competitive early, and then Northwestern is able to pull away. Roger, to answer your question, I can't even bring myself to put it on the screen. I do not know if Union County will score. I don't know. Smitty, it's been fun.
We got a row. That's it for us. Hey, listen, go to fourquarterfriday.com. Rob, fantastic job. We eventually will get to sleep, but when we do, the message board, don't worry about it, message board never sleeps. The Varsity Club, fourquarterfriday.com. Go join now. We're doing this all season long. Everybody enjoy your little college football appetizer today and be a part of everything like we're doing here. South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association, thank you. Thank you to Hewitt Diamandaris. Thank you to everybody that makes Four Quarter Friday possible on the Chief Sports Network.